Ain't he worthy? Amen. Amen. Well, look, won't you love on one another? That's one of the ways that we love Him, by loving on His people. So y'all welcome each other to the house of the Lord today. Love on each other. And all the littles, y'all come on. It's time. Man, look at a slew of them. Hey, girl, how's your back feeling today? Good? Miss Pat's going back to help her today. No, I'm playing. Watch y'all's head. Watch your head. Hey, Miss Pat, love you.
Love you.
Amen. Come on. Boy, boy, boy. All right. Y'all got y'all's happy joy, joy, joy down in our hearts today, huh? Look at them. So much fun. Whoa, whoa, whoa. We got a crawler. You need anything? You got everything back there? All right. Well, let's pray. Let's pray. All right. Thank you, Jesus, for these little ones. Thank you, Lord, that you bring them into our lives, that you give them to us to love on and lead. We pray for all the stories they get to learn today and the truths you plant in their heart. And we're just going to praise you for it, and we're going to thank you. Bless this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Fun, fun. All righty, all righty. Let's get with it. Get with it. Praise Jesus. Tell them, hey, Martin. Tell them, hey. He's going at it, huh? I ain't started it yet. Yeah. Amen and amen. I'm going to come on to the side of you and just give you glory be. Love you. Amen. Yes. Amen. Amen. Glory be. All right. All right. Y'all take y'all's Bibles today. Love you, brother. We going live, Brother Shannon. There we go. All righty. Yeah, you see that shave on that fella there? He done went clean. I was liking that beard too, but he's a sharp looking dude either way, huh?
I got tired of it.
Turn it off. I eventually get tired of shaving and it'll grow back. Yeah, yeah. Winter's coming, right? Yeah. Well, amen and amen. Well, look, take y'all's Revelation, the Bible that you brought with. If you don't have one, I'm sure you got a phone with an app on it. You could pull it up or look in the pews. I think we've got most of the Bibles back out here. You can grab one of those and turn to 1 Samuel, 1 Samuel 25. We're continuing with our series. The kids in the back are going to learn about this today when it comes to David and a sweet lady by the name of Abigail and her husband, Nabal, or you can pronounce it, I'm sure, a couple different ways. But we're going to learn a little bit about them today in our series. So 1 Samuel chapter 25. 1 Samuel 25. It's a longer chapter. It's got 44 verses in it. It tells the story of what took place with King David. He has actually not been placed upon the throne yet, but he has the anointing upon his life already. We have learned that, how God had called him and brought him into this place. And he's been on the run from who? King Saul. Now, what we want to remember about Saul is that Saul was a man for whom God had given to the nation out of his anger. We learn that later. The people asked for something, and God gave them what they asked for. That's why we have to be careful what we ask for.
Amen.
You could ask God for things that are actually, can be, even a good thing, but when you ask and you keep asking for something that He may not intended for you to have. He can give you that thing you asked for, but it don't produce what you wanted it to produce in your life. And that's why we're always asking God. God doesn't have to fix everything for us, right? But we do need Him to do what? Fix us for whatever we have to face in life. Because you can go through life with problems and issues and difficulties. How many of y'all have learned that already? Can you endure and make it through? Does God use those things in your life?
Amen.
Yes, the Scriptures are very clear. God doesn't keep troubles out of the life of His people. He doesn't keep sicknesses away from His people. That's very, very fundamental to recognize. It's in those things that He works on us. He fixes us in that to be more like Jesus. And that's what we want to learn. That's what we want to learn from day to day, is just to be more like Jesus. Well, we have to die to ourselves. We have to die to ourselves so that the life of Christ can be manifested out of our mortal flesh, out of our life, that people will see Jesus not as much as they see us. And it takes challenging difficulties at times. It's even referred to in the Newer Testament, say in the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians is one of those books that's all about the issues of dealing with suffering in your life and how those sufferings actually work for our benefit, to bring glory to God as we go through it. This world we live in is fallen. Our flesh is going to perish. It's going to continue to grow older and older. The longer you live, the more trouble you will find. Things will come your way. It's just inevitable. It's not that we necessarily want those things, but we recognize that it's not the troubles that we go through that's changing us. It's the God who's with us in the trouble who's changing us. He's the one who's transforming us. And that's what we long for to happen in our life. Well, King Saul was one of those guys that God did a work in, but he continued to operate in this world without the Lord. He had a day-to-day routine that he wouldn't seek God. And when he was around godly men and women, things worked out to his advantage. They helped him. They encouraged him. But there were times when those things got really personal in his life, like with David, for an example. When David slew Goliath, and the Bible tells us prior to that, when Saul was small in his own eyes, when he was humble in his own eyes, God was pleased with Saul. He was blessed by him, and God used him. But when he began to take matters in his own hands and felt like because of the position he had, he could do things without seeking the Lord, that's when God began to take his hand off of Saul. He put his hand on David. And when David was given any kind of recognition by the people for what he was doing and what God did in him, for David never took any credit for it, right? Y'all, we know the stories, and we know what David went through and the things that he did. He always pointed everybody to Jesus. Remember what we said? That's the sweet spot of kingdom living, isn't it? Whether you lived in the Old Testament or the New, is what? Praying, praising, and pointing to Jesus. And that's how he lived his life. He prayed, he praised, he pointed people to Jesus. Now, he wasn't perfect. Just like you, Danny Simon, and just like Nick Holden, we're not perfect either, are we? But in Christ, because of him being perfect, God has accounted us as righteous when we trust Jesus with our life. And that eternal life that He grants to us, He transfers to us, is to give us so that we can walk eternally in eternal living with Him. Well, Saul just didn't get a hold of that, and as a result, he took things personal with David. He made it his aim in life to destroy David. He did not want David, even though the Bible does tell us Saul recognized that God's hand was upon David, but he continued to set his heart to destroy him. That's a dangerous thing, to recognize the hand of God on somebody and then set out to destroy them. David could recognize God's hand wasn't on Saul, but God had anointed Saul for the position that he had, so David wouldn't put his hand on Saul. That's the difference between the righteous man living by faith and the man that is just living according to the flesh. So last week, what did we look at? David showed Saul what? Mercy. He showed him mercy. Remember when Saul went in that cave and David happened to be in there and his men told him, and he went in and he cut a piece of his garment off, his robe off, and then he showed Saul what he had done, that he showed him mercy. And Saul said, look, man, you're better, you're a better guy than I am. Why? Because that Saul deeply felt that. But soon as he would get away from David and he would go about his business, it would work on him again, and then he would pursue him again. And we're going to see that happen as a pattern. The next time it's going to take place, David slipped in and took Saul's spear and took a jug. That's right, took a jug of water from him. Remember what happened? They went there and got that and brought it and had it. And David showed it to him, and what did Saul say? Same thing. Saul said, man, let's make a vow together. I'm not going to pursue you. You don't pursue me. Well, David wasn't pursuing Saul, and all God's people said. David was what? Running from him. He was showing him mercy. He didn't want to have to do anything to King Saul. Why would he have to make this vow? But he was just doing what was necessary to be in relations with King Saul. He didn't want to pursue him, Kate. That was just not in his heart. See, but it was a personal thing with Saul, and he couldn't let it go. Even though when he was with David, talking with David, man, he was good. He wanted to make the right choice. He wanted to do the right thing. But when he didn't have the leadership of God over his life and everyday life, what would he do? Britton, he would revert right back to his old ways again. Y'all ever done that before? Man, you're around people that encourage you and edify. It's like coming together here and we get to fellowship with one another, man, and God's blessing you and speaking to you, helping you, encouraging you. You say, Lord, I want to walk with you. I want to talk with you. But as soon as we get outside these walls and we get on the job the next day and we get around some of the people we got to work with and the conversations go going and the things start happening, or you turn on the TV and you see what they're doing in Washington or what they're doing in Jackson or what they're doing around the world, and boy, your old blood begins to boil within you and you start getting upset, and boy, you forget about that commitment you made last Sunday. Are you with me? That, man, I want to be a better person. I want to do things differently. I want to be somebody that represents Jesus in a way that can honor Him. And we got to remember this. No one or no thing is worth getting out of the will of God for. Amen? Y'all remember that? No one and no thing is worth getting out of the will of God for. How many of y'all need to remind yourself of that on a regular basis? Because there's always that somebody. Are you with me? There's always that something. Is there somebody out there that's like some sandpaper in your life? That there's still some burrs on you, there's still some rough spots on you, and God's using them to work a little of those rough edges off of. How many of y'all still got some rough edges? Y'all still on the clay, you know, the clay on the potter's wheel? And when you're on that potter's wheel, you know how the clay, he's molding and there's some little flawed spots in it, and the potter can do with what he wants to do with the clay. And I'm sure all of us, we all have some flawed spots in our life. That's why God allows things to come into our life to help us with those things. And that's why sometimes people enter into our life to show us, Josh, just really where we are. Rusty, you got anybody like that? A bunch of them. And now we wasn't asking for the whole crew. But yeah, you see, we have people or elements of people or dynamics of people or circumstances that have a way of really stirring us up. And they reveal to us, well, man, I'm just not quite as far as I thought I was. I want to be further. I made a commitment to be further. And boy, when I was around the right people, giving me the right advice, guiding me in the right direction, man, I was making right choices. But man, when I got away from them and I was out there on my own, and I was faced with a circumstance or faced with a person that rubs me the wrong way, I throw all that off and I take it personal. And now I become defensive. And now pride starts welling up within me. And you know when pride's like old buzzard. Pride only eats on death. Eats on the death of the flesh. And boy, it just picks us apart little by little. little by little. And now you're walking around, you're guilty, you got shame on your life, and you're saying, man, I'm an old sorry joker. You ever say that before? I said I wasn't going to let them get to me, and I let them get to me. Amen. I ain't the only one been there, huh? Y'all done that before? Amen. I said I wasn't going to say that to my wife, or I said I wasn't going to say this to my husband. I wasn't going to say this to my whoever it is, but boy, you said it. And you say, I'm no better than they are. And you're right, we're not necessarily better than anybody. The only good in us is Jesus. Amen? And if you get away from Jesus, you're going to do some foolish stuff. And all God's people said,
amen.
You just will. Well, here we have an incident where we've watched David on several occasions. He's shown mercy. He's stayed to the course. Remember last week or the week before last, we talked about a couple of these cities that betrayed David. And what did David do to those cities that betrayed him? He just moved on. He asked God what to do. And God says, yeah, they're going to betray you. And what did David do? He left the people. You've got to remember, these people are going to be under David's kingdom now. He's going to be their king eventually. He's going to be on the throne. David didn't want to harm or hurt any of these people in any kind of way. He didn't take it personal. He understood that Saul was the king, and therefore these people wanted to be in favor with Saul, so they would quickly turn on David and his men and turn him over. So David, instead of being angry and lashing out at them, what did he do? He left and went and found another place to hide from Saul. And he kept doing this and kept doing this. And all the while, David was not harming people. He was actually protecting people. And then he come across a place near Carmel where he was at. And this is where chapter 25 picks up for us. After several of these events with Saul, several betrayals with other people, we find him down in this place. And there was a guy that was extremely wealthy. He had many sheep, and he had a sheep shearing business. So not only did he shear his own sheep, but he sheared everybody else's sheep. So he was making money hand over fist. And David, he's down and near Carmel, and looking about verse number 3. The name of the man was Nabal. And the name of his wife was Abigail. This is in 1 Samuel 25:3. And she was a woman with good understanding, and she was beautiful in appearance. But the man himself, Nabal, was harsh and evil in his doings. He was of the house of Caleb. Now when David heard in the wilderness that Nabal was shearing his sheep, David sent 10 of his young men, and David said to the young men, I want you to go up to Carmel, and I want you to go to Nabal, and I want you to greet him in my name. Just go speak to him and do it in my name. Go tell him that you come in the name of David. Basically saying that David's integrity and identity was clearly known. And go and speak to the men in my name. Verse 6, and thus you shall say to him who lives in prosperity, peace be to you, peace to your house, and peace to all that you have. Now I've heard that you have shearers. Your shepherds were with us, and we did not hurt them, nor was there anything missing from them all the while we were in Carmel. Ask your young men, and they will tell you. Therefore, let my young men find favor in your eyes, for we have come on a feast day. Would you please give whatever comes to your hand, whatever you choose, we'll take whatever you choose, to your servants and to your son David. Basically, David is honoring this man. He's obviously an older man. He's obviously a respected man. He's a businessman. He has a lot. David had no intentions of any ill will. He was just asking this man. He wanted to continue to serve him. Verse 9, so when David's young men came and they spoke to Nabal according to all these words in the name of David, and they waited, then Nabal answered David's servant, and he said, who is David? Who is the son of Jesse? There are many servants nowadays who break away each from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my meat that I have killed from my shearers and give it to men when I do not know where they are from? So David's young men went and turned on their heels and went back, and they came and they told all these words to David. Then David said to his men, every man gird on his sword. So every man girded on his sword, and David also girded on his sword, and about 400 men went with David, and 200 stayed with the supplies. Now, one of the young men went back and told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, look, David sent messengers from the wilderness to greet our master, and he reviled them. But the men were very good to us, and we were not hurt, nor did we miss anything as long as we were accompanied by them when we were in the fields. They were like a wall to us, both by night and day, and the time we were with them keeping the sheep. Now therefore, no one consider what you will do. For harm is determined against our master and against all his household, for he is such a scoundrel, a wicked person of Belial, that no one could even talk to him, speak to him. Verse 18, then Abigail made haste and took 100 loaves of bread and 2 skins of wine, 5 sheep already dressed, 5 seahs of roasted grain and 100 clusters of raisin and 200 cakes of figs and loaded them on donkeys. And she came to her servants and said, go on before me, see I'm coming after you. But she did not tell her husband Nabal. So it was that she rode the donkey and she went down under the cover of a hill, and there was David and his men coming toward her. She met them, and David said to her, surely in vain I have protected all this fellow that he has in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed, and all that belongs to him, and he's repaid me evil for good. May God do so, and more so also to the enemies of David, if I leave one single male of his who belong to him by morning's light. David was on the run, and what was he going to do? He was going to kill Nabal and everything that he had. Now, when Abigail saw David, she dismounted quickly from the donkey, and she fell on her face before David, and she bowed down to the ground. So she fell at his feet and said, oh, on me, my Lord, on me let this iniquity be. And please let your maidservant speak in your ears and hear the words of your maidservant. Please do not let my Lord regard this scoundrel, her husband, Nabal. For his name is, so is he. The word Nabal means a fool. He was a fool. Full of folly. But I, your maidservant, did not see the young men of my Lord whom you sent. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, the Lord has held back from coming to bloodshed, from avenging yourself with your own hand. Now then, let your enemies and those who seek harm from my Lord be as Nabal. Let them be as fools. And now this present which your maidservant has brought to my Lord, let it be given to the young men who follow my Lord. Please forgive the trespass of your maidservant, for the Lord will certainly make my Lord an enduring house, because my Lord fights the battles of the Lord, and evil is not found in you throughout your days. Yet a man has risen to pursue you and seek your life, but the life of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of the living with the Lord your God, and the lives of your enemies he shall sling out from the pocket of a sling. Y'all remember David used a sling, didn't he? And it shall come to pass, when the Lord has done for my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning you, and has appointed you ruler over Israel, that this will be no grief to you, nor offense of your heart to my Lord, either that you have shed blood without cause, or that my Lord has avenged himself. But when the Lord has dwelt well with my Lord, then remember your maidservant. And this is what David says. Then David said to Abigail, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who sent you this day to meet me. And blessed is your advice, and blessed are you, because you have kept me this day from coming to bloodshed and from avenging myself with my own hand. Now I want you to think about that just for a moment, as it applies to you and I when we think about what just took place. David took it personal. when word came back that this guy, Nabal, said that he didn't know who David was. And he didn't know who Jesse was. But he sure knew about Saul chasing him because he says David broke away from his master. So he knew who David was.
Amen.
But he said David had no personal connection to him and he owed David nothing and wasn't going to give him a thing. And that's all good. But he discredited David as if David was doing something that David shouldn't have been doing, and David wasn't doing what he shouldn't have been doing. David was just doing what God had led him to do, and God was fixing to put David on the throne, and David was doing like any good king would do, would take care of his people. But Nabal played the fool on him and played the scoundrel on him, and David took it personal, Pam. And because he took it personal, remember, he didn't take it personal at Keilah. He didn't take it personal at Ziph. He didn't take it personal with King Saul. But now this one cat done got him riled up. And brother, he is like a locomotive on his way for vengeance. And he done set out that not only am I going to kill him, but I'm going to kill everything that he has. Why? Because David had taken it personal. Now David is on his horse with his men, galloping like a fool to go protect his name and avenge himself. He's not defending the promises of God. Who is he defending?
David.
He's defending his own pride. And God used the meek, humble, meager, beautiful little woman to step in the path and say, would you reconsider what you're going to do and let this fall upon me? And she began to advise David that there's going to come a day, David. We know who you are and we know what's coming. She prophesied that David's going to be the king over Israel one day. And she says, when you are on your throne, you don't want to look back on this situation and have grief over you shed blood protecting yourself rather than the promises of God. You don't want this stain on your life. And you know what? Because David was a humble man, because David was a wise man, this wisdom that came from this woman, all it did was add wisdom to David. David realized she was a gift from God. She was a gift from the Lord that stopped him in his tracks and put the brakes on and gave him advice to turn and go another way. And what the kids are learning in the back today is that God sends wise people in our life to help guide us. Just like you as a parent, that God has placed you in their lives, God has placed us around them and in their lives, and other people that God's going to bring into their lives throughout time that are going to be wise men and women who are going to help guide them in a direction that would bring glory to God and keep them from doing something foolish that would only hurt them down the road if they would have done what was in their heart to do. So we want to help them recognize by us, by them seeing how God uses people in our lives to help guide us in the right direction.
Come on.
We don't want to ever be in a position where we can't receive wisdom or truth from other people. Amen.
Amen.
And when that's all they ever hear is that nobody's out there that can give wisdom and truth and help guide us and give us what we need to walk in the ways of the Lord, that's how they're going to look at it. You know what they're going to do? They're going to have a rebellious spirit toward them, and they're going to walk around like a fool. And that, because you don't have to do anything to let a child live with a rebellious spirit. All you got to do is let them go do their own thing.
Come on.
It's born into them. Are you with me?
Amen.
And we don't want to demonstrate that before them. Therefore, they need to see us, what? Seeking God's wisdom in His Word. They need to see us seeking God's wisdom and counsel around God's people and hearing from the Lord to help us from making some foolish mistakes like David was about to make. David realized that he had taken this personal and he was doing this to avenge himself. And this is, it wasn't about the Lord anymore. You see, when he was in Ziph, he was doing what he did for the glory of God. When he was in Keilah, he was doing for the glory of God. When he wouldn't do anything to Saul, it was for the glory of God. Now David had done got fed up with the betrayals. He done got fed up with the misguidance. He done got fed up with the way that Saul was treating him and the lies he was doing. So the next man that crossed him, David was going to lash out at him. It was been building up. And man, he took it personal. And we can learn from this. Amen? That we have to be careful. Don't let it build up. Bring it and give it over to the Lord and have a heart like David had a heart. Look, go to Psalm 141. Psalm 141. I want you to see this before we go today. Psalm 141. Yeah, Psalm 141. This was a request that David had made to the Lord. And I want to tell you, David put the brakes on, didn't he? He slowed her down and he shut her down and stopped. Now, you read the rest of the story. I mean, it's a lot in there. There's a lot of great truths in there. There's a lot of principles we can glean out of it, no doubt. But in Psalm 141, I want you to, maybe this could be a prayer of ours, of what we see David asking God to do for him. This is the evidence of a man who had a heart after God. Psalm 141, look in verse number 5. Look in verse number 5. King David asked this question to the Lord. What did he ask? Let the righteous do what? Let him smite me. What does that mean, to smite? To strike. Let the righteous strike me. It shall be as a what? A kindness. You know what that word kindness is? The same word mercy. Let the righteous show me mercy by what? Striking me. Getting in my way. Abigail, this little humble wife who knew what was coming, had enough wisdom that David belonged to the Lord and God was going to use him in mighty ways and this didn't need to be a stain upon his life. So she was willing to risk her life, stand before this man, bow and humble herself in his sight. And that, David saw it as a blow, as a strike. He saw it as a strike on him. Why? David had been asking God in his prayers that when he gets outside of the will of God, send people to me to strike me and get me back on course with you. And David put the brakes on in his life. You see, to remain humble, we got to ask God to keep us humble and to keep us in a position where we are hear from other people to keep us from doing something foolish, to go in a foolish way. He said, Lord, let the righteous strike me. I shall see it as your mercy, your kindness, and let them what? Rebuke me. To correct me, to put it in my mind, I shall see it as the excellent all, and don't let pride or my head or my logic or my thinking refuse it. Don't let me back away from it. Let me accept it as a gift from you. And that's exactly what David saw Abigail as a gift. What did we read? He said, blessed be the Lord God who used you today. Who did he give credit to? He glorified God in it. But he knew that God sent a person to him, the righteous, to step in the gap and correct him in that. Now, sometimes you and I are the people that help correct somebody else. Come in. Because you got to keep in mind, where does wisdom speak out at? Where does wisdom communicate? In the gates of the city, in the concourses, in the chief highways and the byways. You know what that means? Wisdom speaks where people gather. So when God speaks wisdom to His people, it's in settings like this. It's in when we cross in paths with people. Lucas, when we come across people and they speak life into us or wisdom to us. We were headed in the wrong direction. God sends the right person to us at the right time to speak the right word to us. We hear that word. We believe that word came from God, His wisdom, but we see He used the messenger to bring it. And David didn't lash out at the woman. Matter of fact, he stayed his hand and didn't do anything to the man nor his people. He turned away from it. Why? He recognized God's faithfulness in his life. Why? He had been asking God, send your people to me when I get out of the way and go do my thing. Send the righteous and let them strike me if necessary. Let them rebuke me. I will accept it as if you was anointing my head for service of yours. Don't let me refuse it or push it away. Let me welcome it in my life. That's just staying meek and humble. Amen?
Amen.
Meek and humble. And the greatest example that these little boys and girls of ours, these arrows, they see is you and me.
Amen.
Us, right? Us. How meek or teachable and humble we are to receive the instruction and the ways of the Lord. When we go the wrong way, God sends a word to us. We're willing to acknowledge, just like David did. David said, look, I was on my way to defend myself. But I was wrong in that. And you stopped me this day. And I want to give God glory for His guidance and His wisdom, His advice that He brought through you to turn me back from doing something that I would have regretted doing and killing people. That's why David didn't want to kill Saul. David didn't want to have that on him that he took the kingdom from Saul. He put that in God's hands and said, if God takes him out, God takes him out, but I'm going to wait it out until God does this. Nobody will ever be able to say that I removed Saul from that throne and put myself there. God will have to do it.
Amen.
And that's what he rested on. And the same thing happens with us. Look, we can make commitment after commitment, desire after desire, and want to do the right thing. But if we're not careful, and we start letting this stuff ball up within us, and we start letting this anger get to us, we're going to take it out on somebody at some point. It's usually within the household. Are you with me? You'll take it out on your husband or your wife or your children, and they get the brunt of you, or a friend or a co-worker, and we just want to guard ourselves from that. Look, give it over to the Lord. Ask the Lord to send the right people at the right time to stop you in your tracks, to put the brakes on so that, hey, you'll look back up to Him. Give Him the glory for it. Thank Him for His wisdom and advice, and keep loving on people and showing them Jesus. Amen? And that's what we want to show these little boys and girls back there. Hey, there's a generosity that comes with, that goes for the glory of God with the advice that God gives. And that's what we want to learn in this and what they're learning back there. She was generous. She was gracious. She was humble. She came and brought these things and said, yes, my husband was foolish in what he did. He was foolish. But it would even be more foolish for you to let him manipulate you to do something God hadn't led you to do. And you got to remember, past victories, yesterday's victories, cannot replace or substitute hearing a fresh word from God today.
Amen.
See, David was going off of what he had been doing, and this fresh word came through Abigail. Now, y'all know the rest of the story. What happened in the rest of the story? He comes home. He throws himself a big old party. He gets drunker than a coot of brown. She wakes up the next morning. She tells him what she did. Some of y'all been drunker than a coot of brown. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right?
Been there, done that.
She didn't deal with him. Remember, we're dealing with a wise woman here. She didn't deal with him in that condition. She waited the next morning. She shares with him what took place and what she did on his behalf. He has a stroke. Obviously, he had a stroke. Scripture said he locked up and froze up and didn't say another word, didn't move, didn't do anything for 10 days. So we would assume he had a what? That's what it would assume. He has a stroke. And then after 10 days, he dies. Word comes back to David that the fool dies, and David sends word to Abigail and says, if you would have me, I will have you. And David takes Abigail as his wife. And it would assume that everything that Abigail had was everything that Nabal had. Now, everything that Nabal had that he wouldn't even consider blessing David with an ounce of anything, now all of it belongs to who? To the king. To David. That wasn't what David was after, was it?
No.
David wasn't after the man's wife, was he?
No.
No, David was just being kind and gracious. And a man snubbed him. But he took it personal. But a sweet lady stood in the gap and said, don't do it. Don't do it. He heeded her advice. went about his business, and then God brings this sweet lady back into his life, and he makes her one of his wives now. Just a neat story. Neat story. Something we can learn from.
Amen.
Something we can learn from and all that. Amen? Amen. So does God use people in our life?
Amen.
Does he use generosity and graciousness? Yes. Generosity for the glory of God and advice, wisdom that brings glory to him is something that we can place at the Master's feet and be a tool in his hand to help our brothers and sisters and other people from doing foolish stuff in this world we live in. Don't tell people that you work with they have the right to defend themselves and go against somebody. Stand in the gap and tell them, look, let's give it unto Jesus. Amen. Let's look unto the Lord. Let vengeance be in God's hands. Amen. Don't take it personal. Don't take it personal. Trust in the Lord. Father, we thank you today. We bless you. We ask you to help us with these truths. Help us be an example as you teach us in Timothy that you haven't given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind, that we can work through the problems, that we can treat people the way you treat them, and that we can deal with that old pride as it wells up within our lives, that we don't take things personal, so that we can love people through the love of Jesus. So Lord, we praise you and thank you. We ask you to use us to be wise advisors and that we would be meek and humble and listen to those around us that can help us look unto you in everyday life. We don't want to operate without you. We want to be led by you in this world we live in. So help us now. In Jesus' name, amen. All God's people said,
amen.
Amen, amen. Boy, we need to be what? Quick to forgive, huh?
Amen.
Boy, you don't want to harbor things. You don't want to harbor things. It only makes things tough on you in everyday life. It really does. Anybody need us to pray about a thing or pray over you or anything like or something specific? That's what we're here as a family. We could do that before we go today. We'd love to do it. Miss Barbara wanted to thank everybody for praying over her. You know, he said in Psalm 91, when we set our love upon him, he goes into affliction with us. He goes into it with us. Doesn't say he's going to keep us from it, but he goes into it with us. Amen.
Amen.
And what a blessing that is. What a blessing to know that.
Amen.